Can we give it up for Stephanie, knowing that that's just a... It's difficult at times to reveal your truth. It's difficult at times to talk about the things that you aren't necessarily excited to share, but I'm really excited to share this. Stephanie's getting baptized in this service today. Yep. As well as her 16-year-old daughter. Come on, somebody. Let's give it up for what God's doing. Speaking of baptisms, last week we had 35 baptisms, church. Come on, somebody. Not to mention record attendance of just shy of 1,500 people. And you just need to know that we celebrate numbers around here. We celebrate those because of a statement you hear us say all the time. Because we know it's possible to probably get an unhealthy focus on numbers, but we believe that every number has a name. Come on, every name has a story, and every single story matters to God. And if it matters to God, it matters to us. And so we're going to celebrate those things. But I would tell you the reason why I'm the most excited that we had our biggest attendance ever, outside of like Easter and Christmas and stuff like that, we had our biggest attendance ever last week. The reason I'm excited to happen last week is because so many people got to hear about the radical love of God. And yeah, you can clap for that. And many of you have talked about how much you've appreciated that series, Faith, Hope, and Love, that God is just cultivating something different in our lives as we begin a new year together. And so, man, I'm just excited. I'm really excited for today. I believe God has given me something very specific as we kick off this series called The Story. But before we jump in, I want to let you know that if you have a quick testimony, a story of transformation of what God has done in your life, and you would like to share that, because our hope is that the beginning of every sermon over this next 32-week series, the beginning of every sermon and starts with a story like that. You can email morgan.henson@tracechurch.com. He is our communications director. And so if you've got a story that you would like to share, make sure you reach out to him. Well, hey, if you are just joining us, you are joining us at a really good time. By the way, my name is Aaron. I'm the lead pastor here. You're joining us at the very beginning of something that we have been praying for months. We have been preparing for months. We are beginning today a 32-week series called The Story, where we're going to journey from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the big idea, the big hope behind this is so that we can get to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. For those of you that are potentially new to the church, one of the things that we're cautious of, that we don't get stuck in this kind of potential rut, it's almost like a Pharisaical rut for some of us that have been around the church for long enough, we understand this, and that is we learn things, we get to know God, but we don't show God. It becomes head knowledge, but it doesn't become the way that our heart is revealing who we love and why we love him and the way that we're going to change our lives for him. And so what we don't want through this series is just to develop a lot of head knowledge. We want it to go from our head to our heart, ultimately through our lives. And so that's the big idea behind this. But what I want to do today is I want to give you an introduction. I want to give you an introduction to the next 32 weeks. Next week will be when we actually jump in and look at the beginning of creation together. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But what I want to do today is answer a question that I hope you're asking. And if you're not asking, I want to ask it for you. Why is this so important? Like, why have we made such a big deal about this? Why is this next 32 weeks so important in your life and in the life of this church? And honestly, I could answer that question so many different ways, but I'm going to land on these two. The first one would be this. It's really hard to figure out what your purpose is in life if you don't know the person who gives you that purpose, right? It's really hard. Many of us would admit that it's like, man, I want more clarity. And we're going to talk about this. I want more clarity around the purpose that God has for my life potentially. And it's gonna be really hard, if not impossible, to figure out what that purpose is if you don't know the person who gives you that purpose. So that would be reason number one. The second would be this, and this is what we'll spend the majority of our time on together today. If you don't know the truth, if you don't know the truth, then you will be an easier target to the enemy's lies. If you don't know the truth, you will become a bigger target to the devil's lies. Trace, like no other time in human history, we are all being inundated with information every single day. And I would make a strong suggestion to you today that some of that, if not a lot of that information, has a demonic agenda behind it. Now, some of you, when I say that, it's like, whoa, we just got weird. Like, what are you talking about, Pastor? And by the time we're done today, I'm going to show you some things. I'm even going to let you watch something that is going to reveal something to you that hopefully will open your eyes if you've been sleeping when it comes to how intentional and strategic that Satan is being, especially right now in the life of our nation, in the life of the world, in the life of our culture. And so we're going to look at that together today. And maybe many of you know this, that once the devil was actually labeled as the father of lies. And he was labeled the father of lies because he's the best at it. And because he's the best at it, what you need to know is that he's got lies that he has specifically concocted for you. And without trying to freak anybody out, I would tell you the devil has been paying attention to your life from the moment that you were born in hopes to figure out how to best take you out, how to trip you up, how to make you ineffective, how to question your own self-worth, how to maybe potentially get you to build your own narrative in your head that would dismiss your own value and worth. Let me show you how clear Jesus makes this for us in John chapter 17. And the context here is that Jesus is actually praying to the Father on our behalf. And here's what he says. He says, I'm not asking you, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. Out of all the things that Jesus could have prayed to the Father for on our behalf, one of the first things that he mentions is that the Father, the creator of the world, would keep us safe from the evil one, which tells me that's a pretty big task, which tells me that means we should probably be pretty aware that the enemy wants to take us out. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. How do we become holy? By God's truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. What is truth? It's God's word. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy. He says it again, holy by your truth. And so Jesus is saying that holiness, or no, truth, will lead us into holiness. Now, really quick, because that's kind of a big spiritual word. It's like, well, what are we talking about when we're talking about holiness? It's not perfection. Holiness is what we often refer to around here as one of our cornerstone passages as a church, Luke 9:23, where Jesus says, hey, if you want to follow after me, if you want to make your life about what I want you to make your life about, then I'm going to ask that you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me daily. And so it's self-denial. It's setting aside our agenda so that God can better have his agenda and his way in and through our lives. John the Baptist said it this way, I must decrease so that Jesus will increase. Some of us grew up with some old school language like sanctification, which is stepping into what God wants for us and living out his will for us in our lives. It's becoming more like Jesus. It's holiness. It's not perfection. It's inviting the holiness of God into our lives as we hope to take on more of the image of the Son. Now, let me show you what the author of Hebrews says on the subject of holiness, because it's very interesting. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Man, we need to let that settle in. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When I read that, it reminded me of something else that Jesus said that was similar. When he spoke the Beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So now we've got two different times and two different things that have been spoken here. Holiness, without holiness, we cannot see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, purity and holiness aren't the same thing, but they're very similar. And so that leads me to ask you this. Has anybody ever struggled with knowing and understanding what God wants for you? Have you ever had questions around, God, what is your purpose for my life? God, it's not clear. Could you give me some clarity about what it is that you want me to do? Do you want me to say no to this? Do you want me to say yes to this? Do you want me to say no to him? Do you want me to say yes to her? And we just have confusion around the calling in our life and what God is calling us into and towards. And if you've ever had any confusion around those things, could I suggest to you this morning that it's because at least a little bit, we haven't leaned into holiness enough, because without holiness, we can't see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will be able to see God. And so maybe if we want some clarity around the purpose that God has for our lives, we need to begin to step in the direction of self-denial, dying to our way of life, inviting Jesus to take over and show us the life that he wants to live in and through us. Knowing the truth leads to holiness. Holiness helps us to see God that will bring more clarity around our purpose. Now, Jesus takes us in a different direction on the subject of truth in John chapter 8. Let me read this. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth." How do we know the truth? When we hold to the teaching of Jesus, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Man, I want to sit here for a moment, because there's so much impact that can happen in your lives around that truth, that truth sets us free. Guys, there are some people in here today that have been held hostage to a lie that you have believed for far too long simply because you didn't know the truth. Maybe it was a lie that you believed about yourself. Maybe it was a lie that you believed about God. And you heard me say this last week, that what you believe about God won't change him, but it will change you. And some of us have been sold a lie about ourselves, about God, that has held us hostage to a lie that's keeping us from living the life that God wants for us. I want you to hold that thought. A few weeks back, I had somebody come up and find me in the lobby, and the first thing they did when they came up to me, they're like, "Hey, Aaron, I know you said you were busy, but I really would like to meet with you." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, when did I ever tell you I was busy? And they're like, "Well, in the text message that we were going back and forth and you told me that you were busy." And I looked at this guy and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, "You know how we've been corresponding over text?" And at this time, he's got a puzzled look on his face. I'm like, "Bro, we have not been corresponding." And so I said, "Pull out your phone." He pulled out his phone and he shows me this exchange that he's been having. And the number's not mine. I have no idea who it is, but he thought it was me. And what's hilarious is after he's like, "Hey, Pastor Aaron," this guy just went along with it and just strung him along. And I'm just thankful he didn't ask him for money or something like that on my behalf. And by the way, if you ever get a message or an email or a social media post that says I'm asking something of you, it's not me. I will only ask money in person from you. So why do I share that story with you? Do we know that there are imposters out there? Do we know that there are bad representations of who God is out there? And would we be willing to admit today that maybe we bought some lies from those imposters? About a year and a half ago, we did a series here called Infomercial Jesus, where we talked about the different fake versions of Jesus that some of us have bought, that some of us have believed. Do you know that the number one sermon that has been viewed the most times on our YouTube page was a sermon I did called Church Hurt, where I talked about how so many of us, unfortunately, have been in unhealthy churches that were representing God in a way that he didn't want to be represented, that so many of us have been on the other side of Christians that were manipulative, that were not representing the heart of our Heavenly Father, that were not portraying the image of the Son, and we had experiences that led us ultimately to either just walk away because of how unhealthy that was, or it created within us an unhealthy and false interpretation of who God really is. The truth will set you free. My hope is that over the next 32 weeks, as we get to know the heart of our Heavenly Father, that God will use this time to help you to see maybe you've been believing something about him that simply was not true. Maybe you've been giving credit to God for something that he's been trying to get to you and say, "I don't want any credit for that. They did not represent me. I didn't want you to feel that. I didn't want you to go through that. I did not want you to experience that. I want no credit for that. What I want is to help you to uproot that experience and learn how much I actually love you." And like we talked about last week, how much value I place on your life. The truth will set us free. Let me ask you a question, and I'll illustrate it this way. If somebody were to play Beethoven very poorly, do we blame Beethoven? No. And so some of us simply need to recognize that there have been some imposters, some infomercial Jesuses. Jesuses? Is that how you say that? Jesus? I'm learning English while I'm preaching up here, guys. Work with me. And understand that that's not who God is. And the only way for you to know who God is to study who he said he is. And so over the next 32 weeks, we're going to get to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. So what do we know? Knowing the truth, it leads to holiness. Holiness helps us to see God that will bring more clarity around our purpose and calling. Knowing the truth, it sets us free from the lies that we potentially either believed about God or believed about ourselves. Some of those lies have been concocted and designed specifically by the devil to take you out. And I don't even care if that sounds weird today. I just hope you believe it. I hope you understand how strategic it is. I'm gonna show you something here in a minute. It's gonna blow your mind. Now, potentially one of the most tangible verses that we get on the truth of God comes from Jesus himself in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, if you're brand new to the church, the Sermon on the Mount, you'll hear guys that do what I do talk about that sermon a lot. It's the most famous sermon Jesus ever preached. I mean, through this sermon, they said it was probably about 12 minutes in length. Some of you guys wish I'd preach that. Keep that to yourself. But about 12 minutes in length, and he went through some of the most incredible and impactful principles of what it means to be a part of his kingdom and not just focus on our own little kingdoms. And at the end of that sermon, he concludes with these words. It says, therefore, in other words, based on everything that I just said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, which is truth, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, again, truth, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Every single one of us right now are building our lives on something. Maybe you're building your life on a career. Could be a status. Could be a dream. Maybe you're building your life on a marriage or even your children. And although all of those things are important, they were never intended to be the main thing that we build our lives on. And when we make a good thing the main thing, it can actually become a bad thing. And some of us have lived enough life to have had some storms come into our life and maybe not sweep those things away, but cause some devastation to those things that we were building our lives on. And we've lived enough life to see and experience those moments where we had to step back and all of a sudden realize, I'm building my life on the wrong thing. I'm not saying those things are important. I'm not saying I shouldn't be putting attention and you know, energy behind making sure that those things are healthy and good and a part of my life, but they're not the main thing. And maybe that storm came in and it devastated something. Maybe one of the areas I mentioned, maybe it's something else for you. And all of a sudden you realize how uncertain those things are. And you had to ask yourself the question, what should I be building my life on? And maybe for you, it was a moment where God showed you, hey, if you build your life on anything other than me and the foundation of my truth, you're going to build your house on sand. But if you will listen to my words and not just know it, right? Jesus was clear. But you get to know the word of God so you can show the word of God. If you listen and you obey, if you start to live the way that I've asked you to live, you will begin to build your life on a kind of wisdom that can withstand storms. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a storm-proof life. And Jesus says that's possible if we build our lives on living out his truth. So what do we know? Well, before I go there, don't go there yet. Take that off real quick, please. We can get a lot of things wrong in life and still figure it out. We can still figure it out. We can still navigate through, you know, obstacles and adversity. We can get a lot of things wrong. We cannot get Jesus wrong. Friends, if you want to get your marriage right, if you want to get parenting right, if you want to get relationships right, you cannot get Jesus wrong. So what do we know? Now we'll go to those. Knowing the truth leads to holiness. What is holiness? Holiness helps us to see God, brings more clarity into the calling on our life. Knowing the truth sets us free from the lies that sometimes the devil has specifically designed for us. Knowing and living out the truth builds a life of wisdom that can withstand the storms. Now, I'm gonna take us in a little bit different of a direction, and it's gonna get a little bit heavy, okay? So I need you to hang on. Many of us, most of us, are socially and emotionally and culturally aware enough to see that what's happening around us is chaos. Some of us would be willing to say that a lot of what we see happening around us has a demonic agenda behind it. I would definitely be in that group. That more than ever, as I've been studying so much on this subject, even in the last 6 months, that I'm just seeing the devil's hand in so many different things. And some have described what we're experiencing specifically in America right now. Some would call it this, and they've labeled it this, that we're in a post-Christian nation. And what that means is that there was a season in the life of our nation where the majority of the ideals and values that this country was built upon was because of the faith of Christianity. You cannot deny that. But now the majority of people who live in this nation are not Christian, and so therefore we're in a post-Christian nation. But I would take it a step further. I don't believe that we're simply in a post-Christian nation. I believe we are in a post-truth nation. And this gets scary. Where truth is no longer defined by reality, but instead it's whatever someone thinks, feels, or says in any given moment, and it can change from day to day, which has led to a lot of the chaos that we see around us. And you know what's really interesting? If you were to study major empires that have both been built and then fallen, there is a common denominator. Major empires. One of the common denominators of these empires that grew to a great, you know, status of power and then ultimately fell was towards the end of their power, towards the end of their demise, they began to redefine a lot of things that were always structured around truth. Marriage, gender, sexuality, truth. And over time, as those things began to be redefined or become fluid, although they had been considered as a social construct around truth for centuries, you will start to see those empires fall. Where do you think we are today? One of the empires that fell was the Roman Empire. And you could actually put them beside America in a lot of ways, not all, you know, definitely not an exact parallel, but you can see kind of what happened in the Roman Empire, and you can start to see how it's unfolding in America. And I want to show you something really interesting. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome before it fell. This should wake us all up today. He said this, Romans chapter 1. Yes, they knew God. It wasn't about whether or not they knew God or believed in God. But they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. Don't we see a lot of that today? They instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Please don't miss these next four words. So God abandoned them. That should scare you. Scares me. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. There it is. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And he says it again. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. You see, church, when we intentionally deny and abandon God's truth, God will ultimately deny and abandon us to those things. I want to show you how real this is becoming. I want to show you how real this is becoming because, unfortunately, the average Christian, in my mind, is either just sleeping or they're being way too passive in what they're seeing and experiencing around them. Here recently, somebody sent me a clip of a new cartoon that Amazon Prime Video is putting out. And when they sent it to me and I watched it, I'm like, there's no way. Like, this is fake news, you know, whatever. And there's no way. And so I jumped on Amazon Prime Video, and this is a very popular platform, right? I mean, I use Amazon Prime Video. Many of you do. If you jump on their YouTube page right now, they are promoting what I'm about to show you at the very top of their page above anything else on their platform. Check this out.
Once upon a time, there was a glowing city protected by golden gates known as Heaven. It was ruled by beings of pure light, angels that worshipped good and shielded all from evil. Lucifer was one of these angels. He was a dreamer with fantastical ideas for all of creation, but he was seen as a troublemaker by the elders of Heaven, for they felt his way of thinking was dangerous to the order of their world. So he watched as the angels began to expand the universe in their ways. From the dust of Earth, they created Adam and Lilith, equals as the first of mankind, but despite this, Adam demanded control, and Lilith refused to submit to his will. She fled the garden. Drawn in by her fierce independence, Lucifer found her, and the two rebellious dreamers fell deeply in love. Together, they wished to share the magic of free will with humanity, offering the fruit of knowledge to Adam's new bride, Eve, who gladly accepted. But this gift came with a curse, for with this single act of disobedience, evil finally found its way into Earth. With it, a new realm of darkness and sin, and the order Heaven had worked to maintain was shattered. As punishment for their reckless act, Heaven cast Lucifer and his love into the dark pit he had created, never allowing him to see the good that came from humanity. Only the cruel and the wicked, ashamed, Lucifer lost his will to dream, but Lilith thrived, empowering demonkind with her voice and her songs, and as the numbers of hell grew, so did its power. Threatened by this, Heaven made a truly heartless decision that every year they would send down an army, an extermination, to ensure hell and its sinners could never rise against them. But Lilith's hope remained, and her dream was passed down to their precious daughter, the Princess of Hell. Don't worry, Mom. I'll make you proud.
If you can't see the demonic agenda that's unfolding before our eyes, you need to wake up. It's out in the open. It's being promoted. It's coming after your kids. And you just need to know that if you come to this church, your pastor is not going to be silent on these things. Your pastor will speak up. I will not be passive. I will stand firm on the truth of God. And my prayer is that all of you would stand with me. That's my prayer. Yes. So over the next 32 weeks, we are going to dive more deeply into the Word of God. We are going to open our Bibles and we're going to walk through the mind of our Heavenly Father. We're going to get to know God so we can better show Him to a lost and broken world. We're going to learn the truth so we can combat the lies in our lives, some that have been specifically designed for us. We're going to build our lives on the living words of a living God. We're going to lean into holiness so that we can invite clarity around the calling that God has for our lives. Now, for those of you that are kind of curious on how this is going to unfold, I'm going to have them put up this outline for you. If you want to take a picture of this, take it quick because we're only going to leave it up for a couple moments. But this is what this is going to look like. Again, 32 weeks. Each of these, so we'll have 7 different kind of sections that we'll go through. That will ultimately land in Revelation. This will take us starting next week all the way until the end of August. And if you're interested in getting some materials that will help you on this journey, there's an entire program that we got this idea from called The Story. You can jump on their website and thestory.com and you can get a chronological story Bible. We won't be following their kind of outline word for word or anything like that. We've put this together the way we feel like God wanted us to put it together. But it's really good information. It's really good materials. They'll give you a devotional. You can jump on there and grab a study guide that would go great in your story groups. But that's between you and your story groups, what you guys decide to do. Now, here are four things that I'm going to ask that each of you do to get the most out of this experience, to engage at the highest level in what we hope to accomplish together. The first one is this. I want you to bring your physical Bible with you every week. And by the way, if you don't have a physical Bible, we have them back on a shelf back there in the back to give away. And so if you want a Bible and you don't have one, feel free to grab one. And listen, I know that the vast majority of time we're going to look at the text, we're going to look at scriptures on the screen because I'm impatient and I don't wait for you to find your way to those scriptures in your own Bibles. But here's why I want you to bring it. There's something about having a physical Bible in our hands. There really is. There's something about having it in our hands. And what I don't want to communicate is like it makes you more holy or spiritual if you have a physical Bible. How you read the Word of God doesn't matter. Just get the Word of God in you, right? So whether it's an app that you download, whether you listen to it, or whether you read it on physical pages. But the reason I'm asking that you bring it is just so that we get used to this. We just get used to the Word of God being open. Like, right, you got to get your phone out and scroll and find it. No, it's just right here. It's like, this is important. We value this. This is essential when it comes to getting to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. On that note, the second thing I'm going to ask that you do is when you get home today, I want you to start today. I want you to find a Bible and I want you to open it up somewhere in your house and I just want you to leave it open. Whether it's a coffee table, whether it's a side table, bedside table, whatever it is, so that when you walk by it and you look at an open Bible, my hope is that it just invites you to explore. It just invites you to dig back into it, to sit down for 5 minutes and read another chapter. Just keep it open somewhere. I want to encourage you to do that. The next thing I'm going to ask that you do is to bring a journal every single week. I want us to show up every single Sunday with an expectation that God has something for us. And if God really does have something for us, if he wants us to see something, maybe it's not even around the content that we share. Maybe it's just God speaking to you about something specific. I want us to come with an expectation that God is going to speak to us. And so let's come with a journal and ready to write whatever it is that God may want us to hear. And then the last thing is this, as you've heard us say so many times already, we want you to get in a story group. Hands down, the best way to get the most out of this experience is doing it alongside of other believers. We want you to get in a story group. And as Pastor Deese shared a little bit earlier, we have over 550 people already in story groups, which is incredible. We are running out of groups. And so if you're here and you're like, you know what, I'd be willing to lead a group, find Josiah out at the story group table and let him know that you'd be willing to explore that. And he can talk to you more about what that looks like. Sound good? Let me close with this. Next week, we're starting with the story of creation. And I'm going to teach on creation next week in a way that's going to freak some of you out. I'm just telling you now, okay? Heads up. I'm going to teach on creation in a way that my guess is the vast majority of you have never heard. This is something I've been studying over the last 6 months. I would tell you that some of the biggest changes in, I wouldn't say beliefs, but in some of my theology around creation have changed in the last 6 months because of how much time I put in studying this subject. Some of you, it's going to cause you to question what you've been taught your whole life. And so my hope is I've already given you enough to be curious about and you don't want to miss next week. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pray for us right now, and then I'm going to lead us into a time of response. God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear you were and are around the subject of truth. Thank you for helping us to see that truth will lead us to holiness, which ultimately will help us to see you and understand the calling and the purposes that you have for our lives, that your truth has the potential to set us free if we will embrace it, to uproot the lies that some of us have believed for far too long about you or about ourselves. The truth, when lived out, has the potential to build our lives on a foundation that can withstand the storms of this life as we build our life on wisdom. God, I pray that over the next 32 weeks, you would lead us to spiritual breakthroughs, enlightenments, that lives would be transformed, that there would be a radical way that we begin to live out our faith that begins to impact those around us. God, we invite you to use this time as we devote more attention to your word to have your way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.